To the radio broadcast brought to you by the Brummett Church of Christ. We are located at 6694 Highway 26, Rock Oaks, Kentucky, about 7 miles south of Corbin. We invite you to join us for services. We meet at 10 a.m. Sunday for Bible study and at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. for worship services. We also meet for Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. For more information and sermons, check out the website at BrummettChurchOfChrist.org. Today's sermon is from Frank Van Zant Jr. We invite you to take your Bible and study along with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's program, you may email them to info@BrummettChurchOfChrist.org.
Hey neighbors and friends, and welcome to the radio broadcast of the Brummett Church of Christ. My name is Frank Van Zant Jr. I'd like to share with you some things that we find today in God's Word, back in Isaiah chapter 5, some things that we look at here that fits not only those people, but many other generations that follows it, even ours today. We find that these people had gotten themselves into such a problem, and that they had brought sin into their lives so much that Isaiah brought these woes upon them that God had sent through by him to tell these people how bad things were and what would happen to them. As we read in chapter 5 there of Isaiah, down through about verse 23, we find these six woes or warnings to them about the things that they were doing. And we find it resulted from their rampant political corruptions, social decay, and the moral fallen away that they had come about on them there. And these things are, as we look at these, what was happening to them, we find they're happening to us today as we live in our land that we live in today. And it's causing some of the same problems, and the same warnings apply to us that it applied to them there. We find that in chapter 5 here of Isaiah, starting in about verse 8, he says, "Woe unto them that join house to house, and that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In my ears, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an omer shall yield an ephah." So we find here that he says, woe unto these people who buy up land to possess it, lay it beside. They do it through greed, covetousness. They've let their covetousness run wild. He said the houses will set empty. The fields will lay bare. They won't even be able to grow much. He said these things, he said, go all the way up that 10 acres of vineyard will yield only one bath, 1.5 bushels. And he said, and the seed of an homer, which is about 11 1/9 bushels. He said, all of this shall yield but one ephah. And we find that this is about 10 bushels. So we find that these things, he said, will happen to these people because of their greed and because of their covetousness. We find that these things will have. Their sin was not that they was ambitious, but they was a selfish ambition. Wealthy landowners would buy up or otherwise acquire land that belonged to those who were less fortunate. Original landowners were eventually crowded out, and Isaiah revealed what was to come. Houses would be desolate, vacant. Land would be unproductive. Consider over there in Leviticus chapter 26, when we read over there concerning what God warned these people of when they went into the nation of Israel there to possess it, he warned them about not falling into these traps. We read in chapter 26 and verse 20 there of Leviticus, and he tells us there, he says, "And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield or increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits." He was talking about because of their sin and their greed. And he goes in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 16 and 19 and say about the same warning to them. Well, today we find that greedy people have gotten built great big homes. We look on the news all the time and we see houses being vacated, sitting empty, going into ruins because people got so greedy that they tried to live beyond their means. They tried to hold on to more than what they were capable of using. You know, in this world that we live in this life that God gives, there's just a certain amount of things that we're capable of using. Anything else over that is a waste to us. You know, have you ever seen people that were never satisfied, never content? They were never happy with what they had. They were always wanting something else and more of it. Well, this was the kind of problems that had taken place, and it's taking place today in our land. We have banks who are greedy, who is trying to possess so much properties and lands and so on. They're trying to build homes on there and sell them to people that can't afford them. Therefore, foreclosures comes afterwards. We see all of that greed has come to so many problems in our land today. It caused economic turnaround and falling flat of our face there for a while, and it is not over with yet. And he says it'll happen as long as this greed continues. Covetous, we've been warned about the sin of covetous. Jesus' response to the dispute between a man and his brother over their inheritance over in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15 there, he says it's a man's wealth or his well-being or his worth is not of the substance or the things that he owns or possesses. And a lot of people likes to think that it is, that we're only as good as the things that we own. But he tells us in chapter 12 here in verse 15, he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." You know, the most important things that makes us who we are not the things that we own, the things that we possess, but it's what we're made of morally. It's the things we stand for, the things that we stand against. This is what makes us who we are. I'd much rather live beside of a man that was honest, fair, and just, as to live by a rich man that is unfair and unjust. I'd much rather live in a city that was poor, that had very little income, very little factories to work in, as long as we had a local government that was honest and decent and fair and just, as to live in a town that was economically busting at the seams, full of corruption and greed and covetousness, because it creates an atmosphere that's not good for children to be raised in, for families to live in, or people to live a happy life in. You know, as Christians, we ought not ever possess a desire of worldly goods that would cause us to take advantage of others to get them. Proverbs over here in chapter 22, we find that the writer here in verse 16 tells us, he says, he that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. He said, this is just a downward spiral for us, and it's going to cost us in the end. A covetous man or an adulterer doesn't have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. We look over in Ephesians over here, and as we read there in Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 5, he tells us there, verse 5, he said, "For this we know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." So we find that this eliminates us. In verse 3 there, he said, "But fornication and all uncleanness," or covetousness, "let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." If we're Christians today, we got to curb that want to covet things of this life. You know, I thought about from time to time that I'd like to have this thing or that thing. Then I think, well, I can't take care of what I have, God. So we first have to realize God's done blessed us beyond all that we can take care of most of the time without wanting anything else. You know, sometimes there's things necessary for us to have in order to live our everyday life and to work and to prosper in this country. But to covet other people's stuff to the point that we would want their downfall or them to do without so we could have, it's certainly a sin. You know, in chapter 5 of Isaiah over there, he goes on to talk about the carnal things of that time that was causing that nation to fall apart. And we see in chapter 5, it brought about a woe there. And starting in about verse 11, he said, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp, and the viol, and the tankard, and the pipe, and the wine, are in their feast. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men have famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it." You know what he's talking about here is people who will drink and party and have the big time without knowing about God. He said in verse 15, he says, "And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofted shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their matter, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat." You know, he's talking about people who waste, who covet, who seek after these carnal things. One thing that's mentioned there is alcohol. Alcohol promises pleasure to those who partake, but delivers anything but pleasure. We know over in Proverbs over here in chapter 23, he makes mention of the problem with alcoholic beverages, and starting in verse 29. And I know there's a lot of people, even religious people, that thinks it's all right to take strong drink. But listen what he tells us here. He says in verse 29, he said, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? And who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself awry." He's talking about a fermentation drink here that's turning to alcohol. He said, "In the last it biteth like a serpent, and it stingeth like an adder." He said, "The eyes shall behold strange women, and their heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as the he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of the mast. They have stricken me, shall thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." You know what he's talking about? Strong drink. He's talking about alcoholic consumption. He's talking about people who get so numb from it they can't even feel if they've been beaten. He's talking about someone getting so drunk that they feel like they're laying on the waves of the sea or upon top of the mast of the ship swaying back and forth. And he even says that they will get so that when they fall asleep and wake again, they will go back to seek it again. In other words, it's addictive. So this is what he's talking about. And he said, there's a woe here. And he said, because of the babblings that come from it, because of wounds without cause and the redness of eyes, we've tarried long at the mixed wine, the wine that is mixed with alcohol. He said, this is nothing, something we should be dealing with or fooling with. And there's so many people covet that. They follow after it. And Habakkuk over here in chapter 2 and verse 15, he even warns us about giving strong drink to her neighbor. And some that even do it to look upon the nakedness of their neighbor. We find that even this will apply to the drugs that will cause us, our minds, to be altered from the civil way of thinking. So we find that people who do this are people that Isaiah puts a woe upon. He said, but there can be hope for those who are involved, because over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10, he said, but this was some of us. But he said, we've been washed. We've been cleansed. We can be cleansed of it. We can be taken from it. But we have to be willing to give it up. The old carnal side of us that loves sin has to be able to lay it down. Lessons taught by Isaiah can be applied to all those today who possess overwhelming desire to satisfy their lust, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. He talks about our bodies being a temple of God. Are we not, and we're not to defile it. So many today thinks that their body belongs to themselves, but it doesn't, because in 1 Corinthians over here in chapter 6, we find in verses 9 through 10, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, or effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, or revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now we go on down to 1 Corinthians 6 here, and verses 19 through 20, he says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, he said, don't be a fornicator. Don't be a lascivious person. Don't be an effeminate. Don't be an adulterer. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about going out here and living in partnership with a man or a woman without legal marriage. He's talking about the fornication of those. He's talking about the adultery of the wife or the husband going out on one another. He's talking about the homosexuals of the world. He's talking about all these people who follow after their fleshly desires. And he said, know you not that it's not your body, it is God's? And we take these people who want abortions. Women say, well, it's my body. I have a right to do with it what I please. Well, you don't, because it is not your body. He said, no. He said, know that not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He says, why? Which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. We're not our own. What about these people who abuse themselves with drugs and alcohol and take themselves and adultery and fornications and all this lasciviousness and all these other things with mankind? He said, abusers of themselves with mankind. He says, thieves or covetous or drunkards or revilers or extortioners. He said, that's not your body to do these things with. God tells you what you should be doing. We've become complacent in the way we think about sin anymore. We don't call sin sin. People get offended at that, so we try to water it down, and we can't, because God won't allow it. He said, woe unto you when you do this. Today, people don't want to call homosexuality a sin. They don't want to call abortion sin, but that's exactly what they are. No one wants to call adultery sin anymore, fornication. We have so many people today who just live together and still being joined in marriage. Why? Because they want to dodge the responsibilities that comes with marriage. It's a commitment that you will live your life with that partner and keep him or her as your soul partner for life. Who wants to do that anymore? We're too eager to give up on things and go after something else in order to do this. We need to be more steady, more satisfied with what God has blessed us to have in this life, and quit wanting so many of the things we don't have. We become captive to sin. And the next woe is what Isaiah talks about here. He said in verse 18, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Why, he said, while their sins are so heavy, they have to tie a rope to it like dragging a cart along with them. Woe unto them that gets like this. He said, their iniquity with the cords of vanity. and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. Their sins are so heavy and so abundant that they have to do it like this. Isaiah wrote concerning those whose sins are so numerous and their sins had been placed in a cart and pulled by a rope. These people would eventually be bound by the very rope they used to pull the cart. Solomon wrote concerning those who become entangled in their sins in Proverbs chapter 5 over here. We'll see what Proverbs says concerning these people. We see that many today fall into the same category. When we look in chapter 5 and starting in about verse 22, he said, "His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." How many people's lives have been lost because they wouldn't quit sinning? How many drunkards have died? How many alcoholics have health has failed them and they've died because they wouldn't give up the sin of alcohol? How many people have died because of fornication, adultery, lasciviousness? How many people have died in nightclubs, honky-tonks over the past centuries? How many children doesn't have homes because of those sins? How many homes have been broken up and children living in a one-parent home because of those sins? Sin is the most destructive force we have among us. And it's taken so lightly by so many. Persons who are indifferent to their sins eventually fall under the power of their sins. We know this because 1 Corinthians tells us this. In chapter 6 over here in verse 12, we find that he tells us how bad it can be. He said, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Paul said, don't let sin have power over you. Have power over it. Put the devil behind us. People in Isaiah's time made a mockery of God's judgment. Their rebellious attitude toward God was even worse than their entanglement of their sin. Like today, so many people make light of God. They don't want it in our schools anymore. They don't want it in their homes. They don't want it in their government. They don't want it in anywhere. Well, look what kind of shape it's got us into. Look how destructive the forces are out here in the world. That we have young children committing sins earlier than it's ever been heard of before. We have so many problems everywhere with drugs and alcohol, child abuse. We have all these things. Why? Because God's not there. If God was in those people's lives, those things wouldn't be there. Put God in your life and you can remove those things from you. When Isaiah warned them of God's judgment, they responded, why, he said, let him make speed and hasten his work. They said, well, let him do what he's going to do to us. That's about the attitude people of this country has today. We know around the world there's a lot of heathen nations that don't know God, that won't recognize God. But we should be one that would be most grateful to God, most thankful. We live in the most plentiful land that they are. We live in a country that has been blessed above all others. But yet our morals are confused by the taunting of those who are ungodly around us in our world. We look back over in Isaiah and we see that that was the way it was then too in the days of Isaiah. When he put those woes upon these people and told them about their sins, we look in verse 20 of that chapter. He said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, but put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Well, he said, these people woe unto them for being like this. They call good evil and evil good. We today have that. We have people who says that homosexuality is nothing wrong with it. It's just an alternate lifestyle. God says it's an abomination. God says it's a sin. We find that people say, well, you can't condemn people for having multiple wives or husbands, being remarried several times. Well, God does. He said, except we be married again, except for fornication to a woman, he said, we commit adultery. And whosoever marries her that is put away also commits adultery. Adultery is a sin. He said, those who commit that sin and keeps in that sin cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that's God's word. We need to say it like it is. We need to say it like God says it, like God's word says it. This world around us is teaching us to say evil is good, and good is evil. We need to say what God says. Make it what it is and keep it that way. Too many people are falling to prey of what this world is trying to tell us out here. Our children are falling prey to it, and we haven't got homes that are teaching them any better. He told Israel, he said, write my laws up over your door and on your doorposts, so those who are wayfaring comes in will know my laws. Teach them to your children's children. We are failing to do that today. In chapter 5 of Proverbs, and starting in about verse 22, he said, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all of his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden of the cords of sin. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. We need to be careful about our sins. He said it can hold us like cords. It can tie us down. Our society today, we got to be careful of what we teach and what we let them teach us. Because when we turn over here in Leviticus and we read in chapter 20 what he says, a lot of people says, well, I just can't go along with that. Well, we have no choice. It's God's word. Verse 13 there, he says, and if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. He's talking about homosexuality. It's not an alternate lifestyle. It's an abomination. We need to teach our children that. Our children have a choice. They're not born that way. God doesn't condemn someone for something they can't help. He condemns us for making wrong choices. And to become a homosexual, we are making a wrong choice. To become an adulteress, we are making a wrong choice. To become an alcoholic or a drug addict, we're making the wrong choice. To become a fornicator or a liar, we're making the wrong choices. One is not worse than the other. We're all going to be we're going to have to pay for those sins. They all bring severe consequences in this life and certainly in the judgment for them. Atheism is called a part of modern science, but the Bible in Psalms chapter 14 and verse 1 calls it foolish. We're foolish to say there's no God. It's possible the reasons for their failure to recognize sin for what it was or what it is may be the same reason people fail to recognize it today. Fear of offending others, justifying ourselves in it, ignorance, or to make others feel good rather than guilty, make ourselves feel comfortable about whom we are, what we care about, but nevertheless it's still sin. And we need to feel guilty when we do it. We need to own up to it. We don't need to feel comfortable in it. We don't need to justify ourselves in it. We need to see it as it is. Chapter 5 here of Isaiah is another woe in verse 21. He said, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Don't that sound familiar from so many today? So many today think that they're wise in their own sight. They can make their own decisions. God said, my ways are higher than your ways. You know, again in verse 23 here, he tells them, he says, verse 22, he said, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteous for the righteousness of them. You know what he's talking about? Bribes. Like our government today has got so corrupt. People are taking bribes and justifying it. They're passing laws that they know better to, but because they've been paid off, they do it anyhow, or it's more profitable for them to do that. We know that we've been sold out to banks and foreign governments. We know that our government's selling us out every day because of their own profit to fill their own pockets. We know that judges don't render just decisions unless it's profitable. You know, it's a shame that our world has come to that when God's told us better, warned us. But it has. But let's call it what it is. Let's don't make it any better. Let's tell ourselves what it is and don't be part of it. I thank you for being with us today, and I want to welcome you back every time that you can. And I always want to bid you a good day at this time.